This is your life, episode 79. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is it everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to this episode of This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt, and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about five ways to build rapport and trust with your audience. Now, before you think this message is not for me, I don't have an audience, think again. If you're a blogger or a podcaster, obviously you have an audience. If you're an author or speaker, obviously you have an audience. But if you make any kind of presentations, even one-on-one or in small groups, you also have an audience. And regardless of the context, my goal in this episode is to help you with some practical ways that you can build trust and get people to buy, whether that's an actual product or a point of view. You can find the outline to this episode, the resource links, and a complete transcript in the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/79, as in episode 79. And I'll be back in a minute with some thoughts on this important topic.
If you have something to say or sell in today's noisy world,
now you can get the inspiration, training, and tools you need to increase your influence and impact.
Platform University, a community of like-minded individuals led by one of Forbes magazine's top 50 social media influencers, Michael Hyatt.
Each month, you'll get access to
The Masterclass, where Michael interviews leading platform authorities.
Backstage Pass, a behind-the-scenes look at Michael's own platform business.
Member Makeover, with specific recommendations you can put to work now.
A live Q&A session where you can ask Michael your most burning questions.
And the discussion forum where our members support one another in their common quest.
Hi, this is Ryan Jenkins from ryan-jenkins.com. The most epic part of Platform University are the Backstage Pass videos. They provide me with the relevant nuts and bolts to take my business and platform to the next level.
Intrigued? Now it is the time to invest in building your own platform. PlatformUniversity.com.
You know, the ability to build rapport and trust is a critical success skill in leadership. It's something you must have if you're going to influence people and if you're going to have the impact that you deserve to have or need to have. This last weekend, I was in Las Vegas at the New Media Expo, NMX for short, and I spoke in the morning about personal branding, and then that afternoon I participated, this was on Saturday, in a panel discussion with my friend Cliff Ravenscraft, who organized the panel and was the leader of the panel, and then Dan Miller of 48 Days and Ray Edwards of the Ray Edwards podcast. And we talked about the topic of the formula for creating a top-ranked podcast in the business category of iTunes. It was a tremendous amount of fun. We had a packed room, and each of us spoke on one aspect of the formula. And I, by the way, I don't know if it was recorded or if that's going to be available. I just don't know. So some of you may want to listen to it if you could get it. I think there was some terrific stuff there. But Cliff assigned each of us a certain part of the formula. My part was on how to build rapport and trust with the audience. And of course, I'm always looking for opportunities to repurpose content and take it to the next level. So I did think about it some more after that panel discussion. I thought, I really want to talk about this on a podcast. Because I think that all of us are in this business of trying to build rapport and trust with the people that we're trying to influence. I mean, even if you're just a stay-at-home mom, you want to build rapport and trust with your husband, with your children, with your friends, with other people. If you're a lone salesperson, you certainly want to build trust and rapport with the people that you're trying to sell to. But then, of course, all of us who recognize that we have an audience, whether it's a formal presentation, an informal presentation, or standing in front of a large crowd, we too want to build rapport and trust because it's necessary. It's like the lubricant that makes sales possible. And by the way, if you don't think you're in sales, everybody's in sales. If you're trying to persuade people or to get your point of view across, You're in sales, even if you're in a ministry, even if you're in a nonprofit, you're in sales, make no mistake about it. So here are five ways you can build more rapport and trust. Way number one, show empathy. You know, it's like the old adage says, people don't care what you know until they know you care. You've got to communicate to people that you get them, that you understand their world. And the more you know about your audience, the better. And yes, the demographic information is important. And I just did a reader survey of my blog audience and found a lot of fascinating things about them demographically, which I'm hoping to share in a future post. But the more interesting part of it was the psychographic information. And this is the information about people's behavior and, more importantly, about their aspirations and about their pain points. One of the things that makes effective communicators effective is they get the audience. They understand where their audience is living. They know their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations, but they also know their pain, their challenges, their struggles, because they've been there. So you've got to be able to create that kind of empathy so that when people are listening to you, they get that you get them. You're giving voice to something that maybe they haven't had words for, but you're able to articulate. So you've got to show that kind of empathy, that sort of emotional intelligence, that emotional capacity that you get them. So that's way number one. Way number two is to be generous. You know, nothing builds trust like love. And sometimes people think, you know, well, what does love have to do in a business context or, you know, in an organizational context? Well, it actually has everything to do it. Tim Sanders wrote this in a book that was hugely influential to me called Love is the Killer App. And he talked about love in a business context and expressing it. And the way that this looks most often is generosity. You being willing to share your knowledge, your resources, your contacts, and your compassion with the people that you're trying to influence. And I know sometimes we operate out of a scarcity mentality where we think, oh, I got to hold all this stuff close to the vest and I don't want to share my contacts with you. Or maybe it's a competitor that asks us for this information. I think nothing has a bigger impact on other people than freely giving away, again, your knowledge, your resources, your contacts, and your compassion. And if you are a blogger or a podcaster, there may be a tendency for you to try to hold back your best stuff because you think, well, I'm going to create a course and I'm going to sell that. And certainly, if you're trying to do this full-time or semi-professionally, you're going to want to be able to create products that you can, you know, dare I say, monetize. But that should not keep you from offering up your best to the world. Lead with your best foot forward. In a sense, it's kind of like the people at the food court that are out there sharing samples of the food that if you buy, you would get more of. In a sense, that's what a blog or a podcast is. You're allowing people to sample the menu so that hopefully they'll become paying customers or buying customers. So give away your best stuff and trust, come from a place of abundance and trust that there's more where that came from. In fact, I'll say it even more strongly than that. I don't think you'll get more until you give away what you've already got. You know, it's like a supply and demand thing or like a flow thing. And, you know, I don't want to get all woo-woo, but I think it's important. If you're going to be effective, you've got to give away great stuff. Way number three, way number one was show empathy. Way number two, be generous. Way number three is tell the truth. Now, obviously, who's not going to agree to that? Who's not going to acknowledge that's important, but it's harder than it sounds. Most of us like to think of ourselves as truth tellers, but it's easy to round the numbers up, to spin the facts, or conveniently leave out the evidence that doesn't support our position. But if we're going to build trust, then we have to commit ourselves to telling the truth, even when it's difficult or embarrassing. I used to have a woman who worked for me at Thomas Nelson by the name of Pamela Clements. Pamela, if you're listening to this by chance, this is a great example where you really taught me. And what Pamela would do is that she was my vice president of marketing when I was running one of the divisions at Thomas Nelson. And Pamela's a great marketer, but she would occasionally, like all of us, make mistakes or drop the ball or forget to do something. But she was always the first person to let me know. She made a beeline to my office, sat down and said, look, I've got something to confess. And she would tell me. So even though it was embarrassing, even though it was probably difficult, it was immeasurably easier on her because she was willing to take the initiative to tell the truth. Because at that point, it was just like, well, gosh, thanks for letting me know. I know that you get it and you're going to fix it. So great. People are more forgiving than you think. You know, witness all the celebrities who have publicly blown it, apologized, and received a pass. They don't expect you to be perfect if you're a celebrity. However, the general public does expect you to acknowledge your mistakes and to come clean when you screw up. Sam Moore, who is my predecessor as the CEO of Thomas Nelson, used to say it this way. He said, "Would give me the good, the bad, and the ugly." And whenever I needed a decision from him, I would give him both sides of the argument. I refused to withhold relevant information, even if it was detrimental to the case that I was trying to build. I didn't exaggerate. I always rounded down so that if he would go behind the scenes and do a little bit of research on his own to sort of corroborate what I was saying to him, I know that's a big word, but to validate what I was saying to him, I always wanted him to find that the numbers were better than I shared with him. And then I would make my recommendation after I gave him both sides, and then I'd tell him why I believed in the recommendation that I was proposing. And over time, this built tremendous trust between the two of us. He didn't have to ask someone else to get the other side of the story because he knew that I would always present the other side of the story. And as a result, I usually received his approval on the spot. So recommit to telling the truth. It's essential in building rapport and trust. Way number four, and it's related, is honor your word. You know, this is so important. People have to learn that they can count on you to deliver on your promises. And if you commit to do something, you've got to follow up. You've got to make it happen. No excuses. And if you can't do it, you've got to proactively let the other person know. And if you're, for example, or a blogger or a podcaster or trying to build a more formal, large audience, and you offer a money-back guarantee, for example, a no questions asked money-back guarantee, then refund the customers who ask for a refund without asking any questions. You know, reduce the friction. Make it easy. This is the kind of thing that will bring those people back again. If they ask for a refund and you make it difficult, they're going to be less likely to buy in the future because now they're going to be suspicious. They're going to have less trust. So if you want to build trust and rapport, make it easy and keep your word. Also, and this is a simple thing, but is really true and important in organizational life, be prompt to meetings. Tardiness erodes trust. And I think we need to think of this as that almost everything that we do either builds trust or diminishes it. Sometimes circumstances beyond your control prevent you being on time to a meeting, but don't allow it to become a habit. And if you are late, apologize, acknowledge it. I can't tell you how many meetings I've had with people where they wander in 5 or 10 minutes late and they don't say anything. You know, maybe they comment that they've had a hectic morning, but to just apologize and recognize and respect the other person or the audience's time. Show some empathy and explain briefly why you were late. You don't have to go into a long explanation, but to just say what happened and to ask their forgiveness. Then way number five, and this is probably the most important in an age where very few people do this, and that is be transparent. You know, people will not trust you unless you learn to share yourself, warts and all. You got to take a risk and be vulnerable. This, more than anything, creates rapport, and rapport builds trust. And the reason this works is because this is where you're demonstrating trust. You're taking the initiative to go first. In essence, you're saying, look, I trust you. I'm taking off my mask. I'm showing you my true self. And some of it isn't very pretty, but I'm willing to take that risk, believing you will accept me. So if you want to be trusted, trust your audience. Trust the other person. Take the initiative. Will this occasionally be abused? Absolutely. But more often than not, this is the very thing you need to do to go to the next level in terms of rapport and trust with your audience. But let me just issue a quick warning here. You can't use this as a gimmick or a technique. If you do, people will see it as manipulation and it will backfire on you. You've got to be authentic. But in my experience, this kind of self-revelation almost always gives the other person the courage to take off their mask too, and that builds trust. The relationship is deepened. It goes to a new level. So again, five ways you can build more trust and rapport. Show empathy. Number two, be generous. Number three, tell the truth. Number four, honor your word. And number five, be transparent. You know, anyone can create more rapport and trust by following these five ways. And when you do this, you increase your influence, and it's an essential leadership skill. Okay, now a question for you. What have you found to be effective in building trust? Did I miss anything? Anything you want to elaborate on? Anything these you disagree with? I don't care what it is. I'd love to hear from you. You can leave your answer at michaelhyatt.com/79, as in episode 79.
The idea of writing and publishing the book can be very overwhelming. It is hard to know where to start and what is the right thing to do. The good news is that trusted and reliable help is available for you. Get Published from Michael Hyatt will give you instant access to Michael's 3 decades of knowledge as a publisher, literary agent, and author. This 21-part audio series will tell you how to publish your work and become successful and thriving author. Michael is confident that Get Published will help your message get noticed in a noisy world. So take action now and give yourself the very best chance to become a best-selling author. MichaelHyatt.com/get-published.
Well, let's turn now to our listener Q&A segment. We've got a variety of questions this week. And as you may know, a couple of months ago, I opened this wide open to any kind of question. It doesn't have to be specific to the topic. So hang in here. There may be something that will really be of interest to you that's voiced by one of my listeners this week. First of all, we had anonymous woman, somebody who didn't leave their name, but ask this.
Hello, Michael. I really enjoy reading your posts and all your organizational suggestions. My question to you is, no matter what I try, I always start off with good intentions, but I just can't seem to follow through completely. After about 2, maybe even 3 weeks, I find myself fizzling out. What am I doing wrong? Thank you.
Well, there are several things that you could do in terms of following through on your intentions, and let me mention a couple. One is, I would get crystal clear on what your intention is by turning it into a goal so that it's not just an intention, but it's a goal. And I do talk about this in my new course of 5 days to your best year ever. And that's going to be available, by the way, till January the 16th, and then it won't be on sale anymore. You won't be able to buy it. So we've done that on purpose to create a deadline, to force urgency, to make you set these goals. But I would turn it into a goal. That would be the first thing. Share it with a small group of friends or people that you know will be encouraging and, more importantly, hold you accountable. I found that when I can buddy up with somebody when I'm trying to do anything difficult, it makes it immeasurably easier. When I tried to get in shape, for example, about 10 years ago, I started running with a partner. Gail and I have done a lot of exercise together, but people that you know you can trust and partner with, that's a terrific way to do it. But here's the most important thing that I would say to you. It's important to identify your why. Why is that particular goal or that particular intention important? You know, it's got to be more than identifying it. It's got to be more than accountability. You've got to get in touch with your own motivations because you've got to have the ability to motivate yourself. And so I find that just by writing down literally under the goal, my whys or my motivations as a series of bullets and answering the question, what is at stake? What do I gain if I follow through on this intention? What do I lose if I don't? Because it is going to get difficult. Your experience is not that different from most people's experience. Everybody goes through that. You know, the motivation at the beginning is terrific. It's really fun at the end when you cross the finish line and you've got people cheering for you, but it's that messy middle where it's difficult. And that's why you've got to know your why. Otherwise, you lose your way. The next question comes from Shirley.
Hi, Michael. My name is Shirley Showalter, and I am calling from Harrisonburg, Virginia. My website is shirleyshowalter.com. I'm so excited with the success of my memoir, Blush, A Mennonite Girl Meets a Glittering World. It's into its second printing after only a few weeks of publication. But how do I move from my great buzz and support in my modest core audience to finding a larger audience?
Well, moving from your current audience to a larger one is an ongoing challenge for all of us. I mean, who doesn't want a larger influence, a larger circle of influence? And so it's true for all of us. But just let me give you a couple quick ways, Shirley. One is continuing to over-deliver, you know, creating new content. When you have the opportunity to do a radio interview or a podcast interview or a guest post or something like that, really giving your best effort, because those people that will be sampling that will be doing so for the first time, and they're going to form an opinion about you and about the quality of your content and the quality of your book based on what they get in whatever medium they experience you for the first time. Then I would suggest guest posting as a strategy. Essentially, you have your platform. You've marketed to that. It is what it is. You've gotten whatever sales you've gotten out of it. Now you've got to find a new audience. And I would go, personally, if it were me, I would go to bloggers that I respected and who had an audience that had a real affinity for the kind of product or the kind of book that I was trying to market. And so you could go to them with a guest post submission where you could offer real valuable content, not a sales pitch, but real valuable content to that audience that would meet a real felt need. And then, of course, you're going to get a link in the bio or somewhere else where it talks about your book, introduces an entirely new audience to your material. And as I've pointed out many times on this podcast and certainly at Platform University, Jeff Goins is a friend of mine who has done this and built an immense following just through guest posting. And then, of course, affiliate marketing is another option where you would set up people and incentivize them in some way to sell your product. Maybe you do it as a, what we sometimes call as a quid pro quo promotion, where you offer to promote something of theirs in exchange for them promoting your product. Or you could do it literally, and it's tough with books because there's not a lot of money in play here, but you could do an affiliate commission where they get commissioned on the promotion of your product. But it's a great question, and I think if you follow those three suggestions, it will be helpful to you. Finally, Wendy asked this question.
Hi, Michael. This is Wendy with servicewithasmileblog.com. My question is, as you can tell by the name of my blog, I added the actual word blog to the domain name, and that's because Service with a Smile was already taken. Is that going to be a problem down the line, having the actual word blog on my domain name?
You know, as most people have discovered by now, it's increasingly difficult to get your name as a domain name if you haven't already secured it. I mean, I secured mine back in the 90s. I know it would be gone if I didn't do that because there are thousands of Michael Hyatts in the country, but I was able to get it because I did it early. Most people don't have that luxury who are beginning to blog now. You know, I think in some ways it's less important than it used to be. You know, it's almost like the speed dial dilemma. You know, once people have bookmarked your site, or in the case of a speed dial, once they've added you to their speed dial list or their favorites list on their iPhone, you know, they don't know your number anymore. I couldn't even tell you the number of the people that I call on a regular basis because it's just hooked up to my favorites. Same thing once your website is bookmarked, or more importantly, if people subscribe to it, they start, you know, they're thinking less about the domain name. So adding the word blog at the end of it is fine. You know, a couple other options is to use the word real, you know, real Wendy Smith or whatever, or Wendy Smith online or whatever variation of your name that you want to use. That's fine. You know, it's the best you can do. I wouldn't sweat over it. I would just do the best I could do, and then I would move on. Because at the end of the day, more important than what your domain is what content are you delivering? Is it meaningful? Is it real? Is it meeting a felt need? If you do that on a consistent basis and create wow content, the domain matters less and less. Well, that's all the time we have for questions this week. If you've got a question about any topic, you can leave one at michaelhyatt.com/ask a question. And there's a little voicemail widget where you can record the name of your website and then your question. Make it brief, get to the point, but it's an opportunity for you to cross promote your site on this podcast. I'll be back after the break with the tip of the week.
Thinking of starting your own blog, but worried that your technical know-how is not up to scratch?
The good news is that starting blogging has never been easier.
Michael shares his knowledge with you for free and will show you that 20 minutes is all it takes to have your own blog up and running.
Hi, this is Josh Christofferson from 31kings.com. The bottom line on Michael's screencast is it's all you'll need to set up your blog. That's the best part about it. It's a one-stop shop. I love it. Check it out.
Join Michael and follow his quick and easy step-by-step video tutorial at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Take action now and start blogging today.
michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup.
Now let me leave you with one final tip. I recently posted about the apps that I load on my Mac at startup, and I'm sorry I don't have a Windows corollary to what I'm going to share with you because I do use a Mac and I've used one for a number of years. But when I shared that post, people shared their favorite apps in the comments. Oh my gosh, that's a favorite. My favorite thing about doing those kinds of posts is I got to get a lot of recommendations from my readers, and there were tons of great ones. But one gem that I discovered, and again, this is only relevant if you're using a Mac, but it is awesome. It's called Bartender. No, this isn't a quick reference on making cocktails. This is a program that runs and organizes your menu bar. You know how you install all these apps and they want to put a little icon up in your menu bar, and before you know it, you've got more icons than you've got real estate to show them. And it gets frustrating. It doesn't feel very organized. It feels very cluttered. Well, this little app gives you the option of taking each one of those icons and hiding it until you want to reveal it. It's very cool, and you can take a look at it. I provide a link in the show notes. This is not an affiliate pitch. I don't get anything for this. I don't know who developed it, but it's a great app if you want to clean up the menu bar at the top of your computer. If you're a little bit of a neat nick like I am, you'll love this app. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please show the love by going to michaelhyatt.com/love and tweeting a link to the show. I'd be ever so grateful. This will help us get the word out and keep the visibility of my podcast high in the rankings at iTunes. And thanks also to Dustin Fluke, Life Absol, Brady Purrier, Jelizabeth Young, love that name, and Levi Chettle for rating my podcast on iTunes this past week. If you'd like to do that, you can go to michaelhyatt.com/iTunes, and that'll take you directly to the iTunes rating page for my podcast. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your